Thank you, Jerry and Dwayne, and we will see you guys after the off day. Enjoy the off day. And we're going to enjoy Blue Jays talk because the Blue Jays took down the New York Yankees. They've played them in two series this year, and they beat them in two series this year. They close to within 3.5 games now of the first-place Yankees and may even not be in last place anymore. The Tampa Bay Rays leading the Boston Red Sox 4-2, and if the Rays hold on for the win, the Blue Jays will leapfrog over the Red Sox. Both those teams are off tomorrow, and then the Red Sox in here for three starting on Friday night. Blue Jays talk is upon us at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. I mentioned that Russell Martin is hitting .632 over his last five games, but over his last 18 games, hitting .383 with an OPS over 1,300 at 1,321, and he's moved into a tie for the club lead with 7 home runs with Devin Travis. And hands up everybody who thought that 29 games into this season, Devin Travis and Russell Martin would be leading this team with the 7 home runs each. They are both on pace to hit in the mid-30s, and that's something else and something we certainly didn't expect and something that probably can't be sustained, but it's been a lot of fun to watch, and they're carrying the weight while Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion wait to heat up. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to Tom in Toronto. Tom, you're going to be the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike.
Go ahead.
Tonight with the roof open, it got me thinking, you know, roof's open for the first time, and each year the path is now, when this sort of happens, it feels like there's a little bit of nervous energy around the testing and just that the roof is old and you've got these old parts that can't necessarily be replaced. I've just been thinking a lot about sort of the infrastructure at the Rogers Center. There was an article last week, actually, in the Star, talking about moving the Argos to BMO Field. And there was a little blurb in this article. Nobody really talked about it, but they got a quote from a senior VP with the Jays who said, I'm going to quote here, "There's still significant investigation, analysis, and research to do as to the feasibility of real grass and whether that could be accomplished." So that's a quote, again, as fresh as last week from a senior VP. You just got to wonder, you know, with the roof the way it is, with the feasibility of real grass still being up in the air. I mean, there's a lot of fans who have been sold this line about 2018 opening day, you know, be ready. And I don't think that's a reality at all. You just have to wonder, is the cost of retrofitting a roof and getting grass in there comparable to maybe just a new park overall?
Okay, I don't know why this is what's on your mind after a great series win against the Yankees, after a terrific game by Mark Burley. Chris Colabello gets 4 hits for the first time in the major leagues. And this is what you want to talk about, but this is what you want to talk about. I don't think we're going to see a new stadium for the sole reason that Rogers doesn't own the land on which the stadium is built. It only owns the ballpark. And so that increases the price of whatever new stadium you're going to build. I don't know that I guess you do have to retrofit the roof, or maybe not. Maybe with drainage, you know, you'll be able to have the default of the roof be open. But you're probably right. They are going to have to change the roof somehow. Honestly, I haven't really put much thought into that. I'm letting the people at Guelph who are getting the $600,000 worry about how you grow grass in here, and I'm kind of leaving that the way it is. But I don't hold your breath on a new ballpark, and maybe, you know, be a little excited about a big win that this team had tonight.
Absolutely. There was one other thing I did want to mention to this point.
You got 30 seconds.
When Showalter was in town, you know, he was checking out the turf. He got people were knocking him, saying, "What are you so upset about the turf for?" In the first couple weeks, I would go as far as to say Major League Baseball should mandate that the Jays have to switch out to real grass by you know, set a date.
Yeah, they can't do that, Tom. I mean, that's just not – it's just not possible. You can't tell a team – if you let them build a stadium, you can't say, okay, now you have to spend all these millions of dollars to change things around. Artificial turf is a legitimate substance on which to play Major League Baseball. Hopefully we'll get some calls about the game on the other side. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. It's the Honda Postgame Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Join Blue Jays Talk with Mike Wilner after the game and together discover there is such a thing as a stupid question. Many, many of them. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Your calls continue on Blue Jays Talk at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590, on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and sportsnet.ca/590. So if you're on hold, stay on hold, and if you're not on hold, get on hold. The Blue Jays beat the New York Yankees 5-1. They are 4-2. Against the Yankees this season, and they close back to within one game of 500 at 14-15. Jays are off tomorrow, one of two off days in the month of May, and the Boston Red Sox come in for three starting Friday night. We're on the air at 7 Eastern. Aaron Sanchez and Wade Miley. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Dwayne Ward, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Frank Head, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.
Can't get enough of your Toronto Blue Jays.
Home run, Jose Bautista.
Check them out online at MLB.com and keep listening to the games on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Swinging a belt, left field. Let's hit a ton, and that is out of here. Home run number 7 for Russell Martin. He's tied Devin Travis for the team lead. That's his fourth home run already in the month of May. And the Blue Jays lead the Yankees 4-1. Yeah, Russ Martin is kind of on fire right now. And it amazes me to think back 10, 15 games into the season, people comparing him to David Clarkson and talking about how he's a fluke and he's not going to hit and what good is Russ Martin? Why'd you give him all that money? Russ Martin, over the past 18 games, is hitting .383 with a .471 on-base percentage and an .850 slugging percentage. Is that going to continue? Of course that's not going to continue. But Russ Martin, after starting the season, what, 1-for-24? I think it was. 1-for-24 to start the season for Russ Martin. Since then, he has pushed his overall numbers, and I'm trying to find where they are right now that the game is over, but not since then, but his full season numbers right now for Russ Martin are a .286 batting average, a .402 on base, and a .619 slugging. That's after starting the season 1-for-24. He's gotten it up to there only 29 games in, and that is just spectacular. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. And we're taking your calls till 11 o'clock Eastern time at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Leon in London, welcome to the program, sir.
Hello, and we have to be congratulated. You were the guy who said before the season started that Russell Martin was the key signing. He would help the pitchers and whatever, right? You said he was the biggest improvement they made, did you not?
Well, I don't know about that, because I really love Josh Donaldson too, but Russ Martin was definitely huge in that he was supposed to come in here and help the pitching. I don't know if we can say that that's happened yet, because the Blue Jays pitching has been pretty awful.
No, I seem to remember you, before the season started, you said the big deal here is Russell Martin. Oh, well, maybe I'm wrong, but he's a huge addition, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so answer me one question. last year at the end of the season, for the last week of the season, fans kept calling up and saying, why don't we go get Russ Martin? And your response was, he's a good player. They don't need Russ Martin. They got catchers. Move on. You said it night after night. And then before the season started, Russell Martin, oh, my God, this is a huge addition. What changed?
What changed was they signed Russell Martin.
Oh, well, before they signed him, they didn't need him, you said.
They had bigger needs in other areas.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Fans who called in said he's Canadian, he might lead this team to something. You said he's a nice player, he's not that young anymore, they don't need him. And before the season started, big addition, and tonight, oh, my God, right, where would they be without Russ Martin now?
Did I say where would they be without Russ Martin?
No.
Are you just trying
I'm asking you, where would they be without him now?
They would probably still be in last place in the American League East. But
I'm sorry. You're admitting they're in last place now? My God.
Are you all right, Leon? Are you trying to get on Brady and Walker or something?
No. Are you kidding? I listened to your show last night, and they put on the worst caller. He was like the fifth worst caller. explain to me.
You're giving him a run for his money.
Explain to me why, for like a whole week in the end of the season last year, you said, Russ Martin, nice player, they don't need him, move on, we have other needs, and you were absolutely right.
Well, the fact that you just said, I admit that they're in last place, shows me that you have a rather clear agenda, and it's not a good one.
Oh, God, and you don't, right?
No, I don't.
Oh, you have no agenda?
No, my agenda is to inform the masses, tell the truth.
So you don't care who wins or loses, right?
Whether I care who wins or loses has nothing to do with an agenda on a post-game show.
Oh, I'm saying you care who wins and loses.
Of course.
Okay, and could I ask you one last question?
Only if it's not going to be insulting.
Insulting to? Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have an agenda? Who insulted you?
You did.
I reported the facts.
Thanks for the call, Leon. Goodbye. You didn't report the facts when you say, oh, so you'll admit that they're in last place? That was just silly. As far as the Russell Martin stuff is concerned, Russell Martin was a guy at the end of last season that I didn't think the Blue Jays needed. I thought there were bigger needs in other areas, and a lot of people thought there were bigger needs in other areas because there were bigger needs in other areas. And I didn't think they were going to be able to shell out that kind of money to bring this guy in. But I'm really glad they did. And did they need Josh Donaldson? No. They had a third baseman who was fine. And they had bigger needs in other areas. But they got Josh Donaldson. And I am really, really happy that they got Josh Donaldson. As should every Blue Jays fan be. I don't quite know what your point was other than to take a shot at me. So, yeah, I remain confused. See if we can't get some better callers. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will get to more calls in a second, but first, let's listen in on John Gibbons, what he had to say in the wake of tonight's 5-1 win over the New York Yankees.
Gibby, what's wrong with Burling?
I told you he was due. Right? Yeah. Hey, we're excited for him. You know, to be honest with you, I'm as excited about that one as a 200th because I think it's been 10, 11 years since he beat those guys, and he's won 200 games. He's been, you know, he's had an amazing career, no hitter, perfect game. And he got the monkey off his back tonight, you know, so that's, I know I feel good. I don't know how he feels, but I don't know how his body feels.
John, Burley had to battle a little bit in that fifth inning. Did that play a role in deciding to take him out after five, or what were you thinking?
Yeah, no, I just thought five innings, you know, the way things have gone for him over the years against those guys, and we had our bullpen really was too rested, you know, Osuna, Loop, and those guys, and Cecil, and with the off day tomorrow, they really needed a pitch. So, you know, that was all the deciding factor. But, you know, Burley, I mean, when he pitches, I mean, he's one of those guys, he's a contact guy. He's not getting a lot of strikeouts. So, I mean, when there's guys on base for him. But, you know, he's it's not unfamiliar to him, but he's got that knack. You know, when he pulls out a big pitch, he can he does that. You know, that shouldn't surprise anybody.
Gibby, I know it's only two games so far, but how impressed are you with the approach that Chris Colabello is showing at the plate?
Yeah, I don't know how he can do any more than he's done. You know, we liked him when we signed him. You know, he was kind of the odd man out in spring training, the way things stacked up, but everybody's always felt he could hit. You know, he did a nice job with Minnesota last year. And, you know, we talk about guys, you know, that Donaldson, Martin, some of those guys that are, you know, really into the game. You know, as the game's going on, they're talking it, they're intense with it. Chris is one of those kind of guys, too. You know, you hear him, he's a winner, I'll put it that way.
Give the Burley hit 86 once today. He had a couple 85s, which for him is significantly better than earlier this season. But did you see some – his fastball usage was also up a little bit based on the numbers for this season. Did you see a difference in his mix and maybe a bit more pop from his stuff today?
Yeah, well, yeah, I definitely thought it was better. You know, he scuffled the last couple times out. And really, I mean, didn't have anything he could go to. I thought he was much better tonight. Personally, I don't mind it when it's a little bit lower than 85, 86. That's kind of in that happy zone, you know. I like it a little bit. But that's always debatable. But the guy wins, you know. He's done it his whole career. But I know he's got to be feeling good. Mentally, anyway.
Did he fight you on it at all? Did he want to go back out?
No, you know, one thing Burley never does, he never fights you on anything. You know, he's a stand-up guy, and I'm, you know, over the last couple of years, I've been with him two-plus years now, and there's times that, you know, that I'm sure he wanted to stay in or things like that, but, you know, he's a true professional. He, you know, I explain my way of thinking, and he lives with it. He's never complained about anything, but I try to be fair with all the guys, you know, and I try to use my best judgment. And you know, another great pitcher was here, Halliday. It was kind of the same way, you know. You know, you get ripped for taking him out sometimes, but, you know, the guys that are stand-up guys, you know what, they if that's your plan, that's your plan. Doesn't always work, but if you do take him out too early, that never works either.
John, you guys never said this, but I think a lot of us kind of thought that Colabello might be coming up as kind of a short-term thing. But the way he's looked the last couple of games, does that kind of force you guys to give him a look even when Saunders comes back, for example, on Friday?
Well, nobody ever said that he was going down or that it was a short-term look. So, we have an off day today. We'll sit down and talk about the team a little bit and come up with something.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that a roster move will be made on the off day, though, given the Blue Jays' track record, they probably will. But Michael Saunders and Danny Valencia, who are still on the active roster, neither of whom were available to play. Well, Saunders, they said, was available, but they wanted not to play him. And now Saunders has 4 days off with the off day tomorrow. And I spoke to both Saunders and Valencia before the game, and they both indicated that they'll be completely good to go Friday night. Wade Miley's pitching for the Red Sox, so we probably, well, I don't know, I was going to say we probably won't see Saunders against the lefty, but you might rather have Saunders in than Ezekiel Carrera against the left-hander. I think we're going to definitely see Chris Colabello in left field against that lefty, and we might actually see Valencia and Colabello in the outfield. That would be interesting. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Jason in Toronto, welcome to Blue Jays Talk, sir.
Hi. Do you think that Colabello will have a future with the Jays? I know that Gibbons thinks he will, but what do you think?
Well, Gibbons just said that he may not be here just for a short term, but as far as the future's concerned, you got to think, where does he fit? And when this team is healthy, where does he fit?
Maybe they can trade him or something, or to get him, make a good deal.
Well, I mean, he's 31 years old. He's he was the International League Player of the Month in April, which is swell, but he was also claimed on waivers in December. So I think it's a bit of a stretch to think that Chris Colabello has any trade value. When the team's healthy, he's a first base DH bat against left-handed pitchers. Mm-hmm. And when the team's healthy, you've got Edwin Encarnacion and Danny Valencia sharing those spots at first base and DH, and I don't think Colabello is better than either one of them. I mean, he could probably hit. He's given a chance, and he could be pretty nice. But, you know, he's when this team's healthy, he's a bat off the bench. Maybe he's a full-time player against lefties with Valencia going out to play left field and Saunders on the bench. That wouldn't be so terrible if he keeps hitting. But I think that's all you're getting out of Chris Colabello long term. All right.
And sorry for Leon from London. I really feel for you. I know it's tough to run a show and get people to call in like that.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much. It's part of the gig. What are you going to do, right? Some people are just out there to try to be a gotcha. I mean, that's what these people have to do with their time. Sebastian in Toronto, welcome aboard.
Hey, how's it going, Mike?
All right, thanks.
All right, I just got to say, you know, first-time caller, you know, huge fan. Just quick thing. I was listening to Jay's talk earlier, and I was hearing something about Kevin Barker was saying something about Aaron Sanchez going to the pen. I just got to say, I don't agree with that because – yeah, he's had a couple of rough starts, but to be honest, I think he's proved himself. You know, he's 22 years old. His ERA is 4.62. I think he's on his way. He's had, I don't know, I'm not too sure, less walks, I'm pretty sure, recently in the last couple of games. And I just think, you know, he's doing great at the starting rotation. I don't know what you think about that.
I think that's a little rose-colored. I don't think he's proven anything yet. He's 22 years old. He's five starts in. He's leading the major leagues in walks. His last start, he walked six. It seems as though each of his last couple of starts has been better than the one before, and that's really what I'm looking for. Marginal improvement start to start. He's done a great job of limiting hits, and he's done a great job of limiting damage caused by the walks. But we're a long way from Aaron Sanchez has proven himself, I think.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right, though. One other thing, though. Russell Martin tonight, honestly, I know a lot of people are talking and saying that, oh, yeah, he's not worth his money. But you know what, man? After today, I was at the game tonight, actually, and, like, I'm really impressed. He got a home run, got an RBI. Honestly, you know, I'm really happy with the trade. I'm really happy he's in the team. Great catcher, great team leader. I'm happy all around, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I think that as time goes on, we will see more of an effect of Russ Martin on that pitching staff. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet, but he's doing good work. He really is. He's working hard, and he's helping these guys out.
All right, last thing, Mike, quick question. Do you know by any chance when Saunders is going to be back in the lineup? Do you know at all or no?
Friday or Saturday. Yeah,
right.
He could have played tonight, but they wanted to give him the extra day off with the off day tomorrow, so he's off his feet for 4 days. He's going to have the brace back on now when he plays. He took it off for a couple of those games in Cleveland. But he'll be available to start Friday if that's the direction the Blue Jays want to go with a left-hander on the mound for Boston. Thanks, Sebastian. Appreciate the call. Love the first-timers. Always a good time for long-time listeners and first-time callers here on Blue Jays Talk. Let's go out to Hamilton. Joe, welcome aboard Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm all right.
I'd just like to say that it's always great to see Burley beat the Yankees because, you know, we've only seen that once before.
I sure didn't see it the last time it happened.
No,
when he was pitching for the White Sox in 2004?
Yeah.
I'm confident I wasn't paying attention to that game.
Yeah. I remember stuff like that. Burley back then was great, but as far as Russell Martin's concerned and everything, I think that's good for him also. Same with Colabello, or however you say his name.
It's close enough.
But Martin's a guy, he can get the crowd going, get him right into a game, change things right there for the pitcher he's facing or however they're using him. But, yeah, I'm a first-time caller also. I think this show is great.
Thank you.
And that guy earlier, don't worry about that.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Yeah. That guy earlier, I'm sure you'll hear on Brady and Walker tomorrow. It seems as though they're starting this tradition about playing the worst Blue Jays talk calls every day. So I'm sure Leon in London is going to be on Brady and Walker tomorrow.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah.
Give him 5 minutes of fame or whatever.
Well, yeah, I guess. I just hope it doesn't encourage them.
Yeah, he's making his name off you, man. So.
Yeah, seriously, I want royalties.
All right.
Thanks
for
Joe.
Taking my call, man.
My pleasure. Mount Albert, Ryan is in there, and Ryan wants to come talk about the Blue Jays. Are all your concerns about Mark Burley allayed now that he's had this start?
You know what? I hope so, Mike. I was down at the game tonight, and he's a veteran. I think in the end he'll be there. And I know it was nice to see the dome open. We had a couple of callers earlier touch on that. But I had a couple quick points for you. It was nice to see the bottom part of the order come through, and seems like they've been carrying the lineup for most of the year. I think to contend, we need to get healthy and have our top players back in the lineup. Do you have any updates on Jose Reyes and any insight on when Bautista or Edwin might turn this around?
I think they're in the process of turning it around. I mean, they were both 0-for-3 with a walk today, so not a great game for them today. But Bautista was 8 for his last 18 coming in, so with 5 doubles, I think. So he's 8 for his last 21. So he's heating up. That's, what, like close to 350. Edwin, I don't know. I mean, Edwin tends to get hot in May, and he hasn't yet. But I certainly expect that it's an any-day-now thing, that we're going to start seeing him hit like the cleanup hitter he's supposed to be. And as far as a Jose Reyes update, I believe Reyes is going to have an MRI on Friday, because that will mark 4 weeks since the last time he swung left-handed. And if the MRI is clean, they're going to get him right back in as soon as possible. He is eligible to come off the disabled list on Wednesday. So maybe he goes on a couple of game rehab assignment in Buffalo or in Dunedin or whatever. But if the MRI that he takes on Friday shows that his cracked rib is healed, then he'll be all systems go.
Yeah, that's great. Sooner than later. Just a couple, another point before I hang up here. Really big fan of Devin Travis, and really nice to see the additions of Martin and Donaldson coming through the way they have. I still have faith in the team, and I think you do as well. Thanks,
absolutely, Mike. Thank you. I appreciate the call. Yeah, there's 133 games left in the season, and the Blue Jays, as terrible as they've been, are a game under 500 and 3.5 games out of first place. So I'm not going to say there's nothing to worry about, because if the pitching doesn't improve, there will be problems. But they are by no means in danger at all on May the 6th. They beat the Yankees 5-1 tonight. They are 4-2 this season against the New York Yankees. They are 5-1 this season against the Baltimore Orioles. And they're 2-8 against the Red Sox and Rays. But they have a chance to turn around at least the first part of that equation as the Red Sox come in for 3 games starting Friday night after tomorrow's off day. It'll be Aaron Sanchez and Wade Miley in the opener. Then afternoon game Saturday and Sunday. Drew Hutchison and Joe Kelly on Saturday. R.A. Dickey and Clay Buchholz on Sunday. And then that will mark the end of a run of 28 of 35 games in the division to start the season. The Blue Jays will play 80 of their next 99 games outside the AL East. Back to your calls. Daniel's in New York listening on the interwebs. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thank
first,
you.
I'd just like to quickly say that this Leon from London, you know, I know he's trying to be famous and everything, but I'll say something you can't say. If he wasn't putting on a show for everybody, then he is what's wrong with people. And he is the reason we as a society can't have nice things as a general rule. So now that that's out of the way.
Okay.
I'd like to talk about Bautista, and then I have a question about Marcus Stroman.
Sure.
So Bautista, I found his at-bats for the last little while, even when he's hitting well, have all kind of been the same. He either takes a ton of pitches on that outside that, according to the pitch tracks, which I don't know if it's accurate or not, always many times shows that it's just outside. And I looked at his last 10 games, and of his last 33 at-bats, 28 of them have been either a hit, a walk, or a strikeout, which means only five were, you know, a ground out or a fly out or something else.
We had three tonight that were neither a hit nor a walk nor a strikeout.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It probably didn't update the stat when I looked at it a few minutes ago. But in any case, how is it that these pitchers are really, they're not even painting the corner on him. They're painting just outside, yet getting the call sort of, you know, league-wide. It just seems strange.
I got to tell you, the number that you quoted is completely incorrect.
Take it up with MLB.com.
Yeah, seriously, because I'll tell you, even if they didn't update it today, so you're talking about the last 10 games?
Yeah, from 27th until the 6th. I'm looking at it now. 13 strikeouts, 6 walks, and 9 hits, and 33 at-bats.
Well, I got a ground out on May 4th. I got 2 flyouts and a pop-up on May 3rd. I got nothing on May 2nd. On May 1st, there was a flyout. On April 30th, there was a ground out. On April 29th, there was a pop-up and a flyout. On April 28th, there was a sac fly. And on April 27th, there was a ground out. So I don't know where they're getting that stuff from. But anyway.
I don't either. Crazy guys over there.
The salient point was?
First of all, how accurate is that pitch tracks thing?
I don't know. I wish I knew. I would love for it to be 100% accurate. I can't imagine that it is, but I think it's reasonably close.
Because it seems with him particularly, they really are getting just off of catching the corner, yet the calls are going against him a lot.
Yeah, but you know what? Not enough, because at least not enough to sustain the theory that the umpires are again him, as it were. Because he's still, I mean, he's 16 strikeouts or 16 walks and 17 walks and 25 strikeouts in the season. Last year he walked more than he struck out. He's still taking a lot of walks. And if there was a grand conspiracy to punish Jose Bautista for his behavior, I don't think he'd be walking nearly as much as he is. It's not like the umpires are saying, I got to call that a ball. It's so far off the plate.
He's also really awesome, right? He's got an amazing eye, even for all his power and everything else. One of the best things he's got is his eye. And you can see it in his face.
Sure.
When close calls go against him, even though he's not screaming and yelling like he used to, I mean, you could tell he's missed.
Yeah, he knows what's a ball and what's a strike.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very rarely is he upset and not right.
Right. And it just seems like it happens a lot. And then the other question just about Stroman is on Twitter and everything else, he's talking about this potential September return. Is that just him being positive, and there's a fact or fiction, basically?
It's optimism, I think. And I don't know enough about the rehab and the injury and what he's doing to know whether or not it's misplaced optimism. I know Yovani Gallardo had a similar knee injury and only missed 4 months. I don't know what the severity of that relative to the severity of Stroman's is. When Stroman got hurt in March, everybody said there is no chance that he's going to pitch again this year. And he said, maybe I'll pitch in September out of the bullpen. But he said it with that kind of smile that you knew he knew that wasn't going to happen. Now, maybe things have changed. Maybe he's ahead of progress or maybe he's progressing at a greater rate than anybody thought he was going to. It's possible, but
is that something Anthopoulos would like be the second person to know behind the doctor? Like, is that something that's like just completely on top of?
Oh, I would think they're paying very, very close attention to how Marcus Stroman is recovering. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and as long as you know, if he can pitch, and if his knee is strong enough that he's not favoring it and not changing the way he throws, because you know the last thing in the world you want is a guy to come back early from a leg injury, have it affect his motion, and have him screw up his shoulder or his elbow. But if he can do it, they'll give him the opportunity to do it, I think. And they'd love to have him pitching out of the bullpen in September and the playoffs.
Well, one last quick thing. The Jays Care Home Run Derby's tomorrow. I'm just wondering if you're playing.
I've not been invited. I was 3-for-3 in my old man softball game on Sunday, but I didn't hit any home runs. So,
you think you can knock it over the 100-foot broad-in fence?
Is it 100 feet from home plate?
No. The other way around.
I might be able to hit 1-2-20, sure.
Well, we'll show up there around 11, see if they're looking for an extra.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen. But I appreciate the wishes. Thank you. Thanks for the call. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. We will hear from Mark Burley. And more of your calls as we continue. It's Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
This shade of blue looks good on everyone. Toronto Blue Jays baseball continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
1-2 pitch, breaking ball, hit on the ground to the right side, through, a base hit. Pilar scores. Here comes Colabello, the throw to the plate, he scores as the throw is cut. Carrera back to first with a two-run single. The Blue Jays are in flight, leading the Yankees 2-1.
The Yankees had lost only twice this season when they scored the first run, and they got the first one tonight against Mark Burley in the first inning. But Ezekiel Carrera, with that two-run single that you just heard, gave the Blue Jays the lead back for good, and the Yankees are now 14-3 this season when they score the first run. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. Mark Burley gets his second career win against the Yanks, his first since April of 2004. 2004. And Chris Colabello has his first four-hit game in the major leagues. He's hitting .750 since being called up. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Brandon in Toronto, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello.
No, I'm going to touch on Russell Martin since everyone's been touching on him, so I'm going to give him a nice little praise.
Sure.
I'm going to be like you. I was like you at the beginning of this, at the end of the season when everyone's saying Russell Martin. Never thought it was going to happen. So I was saying, no, we don't need him because I always thought DeAndre Navarro was he's a decent catcher. We can't say he's not. So
He's not a good defensive catcher.
He's not good defensively, no. But, you know, I always thought we should always go get help in the bullpen and starting pitching. That's what you probably thought too. So that's, yeah. But watching Martin, beginning of the season, everyone talking about pitch framing. And I was like, oh, what's pitch framing? Like, maybe it's like something just to hype him up. But damn, I've been like watching it and just like, wow. There's like some call that he gets and it just right there. Just like, yeah, that's the honor. That's a ball or maybe someone else. But really good. I just like the praise of his defense. His defense is awesome.
And he's throwing out base runners like crazy too. Let's not forget that. But yeah, there were a lot of balls last year that may or may not have been strikes that DeAndre Navarro carried out of the strike zone with the way he received them. Russell Martin doesn't do that. Russell Martin catches the ball where it is. Sure, he'll pull it into the zone a little bit, but what he really does is give the umpire a really good look at every pitch and keeps strikes in the strike zone and keeps pitches that are just off the plate, maybe moves them a little bit onto the plate. And it is a huge, huge difference.
It's quite awesome. Well, to my point, it's probably not going to be so good since he didn't do that great in Buffalo, right? He didn't in his first start. My point is, it's just a question. I don't know, just a debate.
Just get to it.
Why didn't Aaron Sanchez go down and Daniel Norris stay? Because I always thought he was. I was more worried about Sanchez than Norris. I don't know. It's weird to me. I don't know.
Well, I think Norris went down because of that start. You know, 78 pitches in three innings. And the Blue Jays were at a point where they just couldn't do that anymore. And I think that was the last straw. But I think, too, the Daniel Norris that we saw up here in the major leagues, with the exception of that one start on his birthday, was not the Daniel Norris that we saw
in spring training,
and it was not the Daniel Norris that the Blue Jays saw in Buffalo and in New Hampshire last year. And they want that guy. And if he has to go down and make three or four or five starts in Buffalo to come back up and be right, then I think that's terrific. He actually pitched tonight for the Bisons, lost 1-0 to Durham. He gave up a run on four hits over 5 2/3 innings with 3 walks and 4 strikeouts. The number that you don't love about that is that he threw 95 pitches, 53 strikes. So that's not terrific. So he's still not where he needs to be, but it might take a couple of starts. It might take a half a dozen, but I have a feeling he'll be back pretty soon.
Yeah, me too. I think everything will pull together sooner or later, I think.
And Sanchez, again, has gotten a little bit better every time out.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just something in my head that I think it could have worked though either way.
You're not the only one who was surprised by that.
Yeah, so that was my only thing. Great show.
Thank
Keep
you.
Keep it up.
Much obliged. Appreciate the call. Jay in North York. Hello, Jay.
Oh, hey, Mike. I have a question about Rafael Soriano.
Yep.
I understand he's not signed. Where is he? What's he doing?
I don't know.
Is he a potential guy the Blue Jays may look at for the back end of the bullpen? And ballpark, what do you think he would be looking to make?
No, too much.
Like, I saw his contract over the last few years was like $10 million or something. Did something happen to him? Like, why hasn't he been picked up by somebody?
Because he's asking for too much money or too much term or both.
Okay.
Scott Boras is his agent, and Scott Boras doesn't want to pull back on what, you know, he's looking for. The comparable, I think, would be Francisco Rodriguez, who also was waited a long, long time to sign, and he wound up getting 2 years and $13 million.
Wow.
With an option, a $6 million option that has a $4 million buyout. So really, that
Crazy.
Contract is worth a guaranteed, it's 13, because it's 3.5 this year, 5.5 next year, and then the $4 million buyout. So I would assume that Soriano is looking for something along the same lines. And every single team in the major leagues thinks he's asking for too much.
Yeah, obviously. Now, who do we hear about who's throwing in the Blue Jays system? He's been out of baseball for a year or two, and I keep hearing he's throwing on flat ground, and he's not yet.
Johan Santana.
Right. What's the status? Have you heard any updates?
He's throwing on flat ground, and he's not ready to pitch off a mound yet.
Okay. Well, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Okay.
I think that if Johan Santana is going to pitch for the Blue Jays, it's probably not going to be until the All-Star break. And for me, he is, I mean, it would be great, but he's 100% gravy. Nothing that you can count on at all from Johan Santana. It would be great if he got healthy enough to be able to be a good major league pitcher again. Really don't hold your breath. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. They're a game under 500. 3.5 out of first place in the AL East. Stacy is in Markham. Hey, Stacy.
Mike, hello.
Hello.
Big fan of the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, thank you.
We have a little ritual in my house. My son and I, we sit and we watch the Blue Jay game, and my son asks me questions about stuff, and I pretend to be an expert, and he pretends to believe that I'm an expert.
Nice.
But today, we noticed, I think Buck was talking about all those binders behind Gibby there, and they had all those numbers at their disposal, and he asked me, Dad, why don't they use, you know, iPads or laptops or something? There's got to be something better, like to give them more of an edge than a binder. And I didn't have the answer. Is there a rule or something? Can they use electronics on the bench? Does anybody?
No, they can't. No, it's they can't use electronics on the bench. That's the rule.
Huh.
That's why.
Huh. Okay. Well, I guess that makes sense. I don't quite. Is it because they're afraid that they're going to have an illegal edge with something that's going on the other bench or something? Like,
for sure. You never know. If you let someone use an iPad, unless you make sure there's no signal, no Wi-Fi at all for them to use. And again, you know, teams, the first thing professional clubs, professional athletes, professional sports tries to do as soon as a rule is made is figure out how to break it, right?
Right, right. Right.
So there would be concerns that they're getting pitches, that they'd be able to see a shot from the center field camera that says what the pitch call is, all kinds of things. I'm totally, as much as I want robot umpires, I'm totally fine with no electronics in the dugout.
That makes perfect sense. All right, so you don't mind if I pretend I came up with that, right?
No, no problem.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
No problem at all. Thank you. We'll take a couple more calls in a minute, but first, let's listen in on what today's winning pitcher had to say. Mark Burley gave up a run on 6 hits over 5 innings and gets his first win against the New York Yankees since 2004. Here is his media scrum after the game.
Some reports of your imminent demise are a little premature.
Yeah, whoever's horseshit reporting that was, might need to get a better source on it. I've heard going on the DL, back's hurting, doing everything I can do. One thing is right, I have been pitching in pain and everything for about 10 years now, so that reporting's a little bit late. And I do everything I can in between my starts, go out there and get ready for my next one. So I think it's kind of ridiculous that somebody's going to go to somebody else instead of coming asking me these reports. Same thing about retiring next year. I haven't made a decision yet, and people are – I don't know, whoever these close sources are to me. I mean, they're not paying them enough or not going to the right people, so it's kind of ridiculous.
How'd you feel tonight?
Felt good. Wish I could have went a bit longer, but Gibby made the decision to pull me out. You know, I've had struggles against these guys, and I think it's well documented. I haven't thrown well and got through 5, and, you know, I want to go back out and try to argue with him a little bit, and he said no.
Are you more pleased to get the win or not that here? Why can't you beat the Yankees?
I guess both, but again, I think over my career I've had good games where I've thrown pretty well against them and things haven't panned out. I think for the most part I haven't pitched too good against them, but there has been some games where I feel like I should have more than one win. But that's the way it plays out. I mean, I've gotten some jams tonight and had to pitch out of them. So we'll take it.
What was different tonight from the last
Tuesday? Luck. I mean, I think it's been one start. I mean, the game in Tampa, I gave up 13 hits, and I think 4 of them were infield singles or bloop singles. A couple of them found the hole where position guys should have been. We're playing a shift on them. I don't feel like I got hit that hard, and like I said, after that game, I would take that game every time. Last game was embarrassing. I got my butt handed to me, and I wasn't missing many at-bats. So that was a little frustrating last game, but when you go back-to-back and give up that many starts or that many hits on back-to-back games, it looks bad. So, again, I made bad pitches today, and I got away with them. So I've always said I want to be good, but at the same time I want to be lucky, because there's a lot of luck in this game, and when you do miss your pitches, you got to have them put in play where our guys are at.
When you say that you've been pitching in pain for 10 years, what do you mean?
I mean, you ask anybody in this clubhouse if you feel great every day you go out there and play, and everybody's going to say no. I mean, there's days I feel great, and there's days you feel like crap, and you just go out there and get the job done. So there's nothing wrong with me where I'm going to have to go on the DL. Unless I go out and get hit walking across the street tonight and somebody hits me and I go on the DL, then that's something you can't foresee. But people are reporting that I'm going on the DL without even talking to me or George or anybody else. I mean, I guess if it ever comes to that, we'll let you know, not a source that, you know, don't know who that person is.
Is it hard to sort of, I mean, is it hard to kind of flush your history against the Yankees and just not –
No, because every game's a new game. Like I said, it's not like every time I've gone out there, I've got my butt handed to me. I mean, there's been some games I pitched good against them, it just didn't work out. So I came in today just like a normal start. You know, whether I threw a 9-inning complete game last game or got my butt handed to me like I did, I come in, treat it the exact same way, and try to go out and get guys out. So same thing with next start. Just because I beat them, I don't mean I'm going to do anything different in between this start. I'm going to go get ready for my next one and see what happens.
Is this meaningful in any way at all?
I mean, it is, because I finally beat them, and that's, I guess, to friends and family to quit wearing me out and media, but other than that, it's another win. It's frustrating I haven't been able to beat them more, especially now being in their division, and we play them a lot of times. That's frustrating, but it's another win, and I'll get ready for my next start.
What do you remember about the time you beat them back in 2004?
I don't remember anything about it. I don't know where it was at. And
sorry, go on.
I don't remember where it was at or if it was home or away.
It was your first start in Yankee Stadium. At the time, you talked about how it felt bigger than opening day to start there for the first time.
I can't remember what happened last week, so tell me something new.
Billy Koch got the save for you that day.
Billy Koch, good guy. All right.
Thanks. Mike.
Yeah, that's something. Huh? Billy Koch got the save for Mark Burley in his only other win against the Yankees back on April 10th of 2004. So Burley flatly denying the reports that he's pitching with some sort of back issue and might be going on the disabled list shortly. But, of course, aches and pains, absolutely. Soreness, absolutely. Once the season starts, there's no one who's not playing in pain. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1 to take the series and then go back to 500 on Friday night after tomorrow's off day, one of only 2 days off in the month of May. The other one is 3 weeks hence on May the 28th. So the Jays are going to play 20 games in 20 days in three different cities starting Friday night. Back to the phones we go. Bill in Toronto. Hello, Bill.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call, my friend.
Thanks for calling.
First of all, I have two questions. The first question is, do you think that we made a good move getting rid of Lynn and our center fielder, Colby? Because both of them, today Lynn hit a home run. I mean, he's really knocking the ball like crazy.
First of all, the Blue Jays did not get rid of Colby Rasmus.
No, all right, whatever we did. Do you think it was a good idea that we lost him?
Yeah. Colby Rasmus was, as much as I love the talent and as much as I like the guy, he was not getting the job done here, and he didn't, and given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity.
How about Lind?
Well, I love Adam Lind, and I've always loved Adam Lind, and I love Adam Lind as a platoon bat against righties, but the Blue Jays felt that $7.5 million was too much to give a guy who has to be platooned and who really has no defensive flexibility. And the truth of the matter is, these last 2 weeks, when Jose Bautista has been out and unavailable to play the field, Adam Lind would have been sitting just as much as Justin Smoke's been sitting because Edwin Encarnacion's got to play every day. Lind probably
sure
got
well for Milwaukee. That's
well, he's
all
good.
Can...
He's a good hitter. He's a good hitter. Yeah.
And I think he was worth the money because I think he's a better first baseman than what we have.
He better than, like, are you talking about defensively?
Yeah, I think he's better than Smoke.
Defensively, there's no competition at all, but he is a much, much, much better hitter than Smoke.
Yeah, he's really good. He's a good one.
He's also making 7.5 times more than Smoke.
The second question I have for you, it is beyond me, like when Encarnacion and Jose don't hit, that our other hitters hit, and you get these stupid calls. I don't know how you cope with it. I have no idea.
The truth of the matter is that I'm the first guy that people talk to after a game, either good or bad, and it's just like, you know, it's just like going into the locker room and talking to the players when they come right off the field. You haven't had time to calm down yet. You haven't had time for sober second thought yet. And post-game shows, post-game call-in shows, I think, would be a lot less fun if they were done 6 to 8 hours after a game after all the sober second thought. They're a lot more fun getting the immediate reaction.
Yeah, but the team is hitting real good without our big hitters, and
yes,
it's amazing.
Yes, it's true. Yeah. It is. They're leading the major leagues in runs scored with Bautista and Encarnacion both off to very, very slow starts.
This kid that's got four hits tonight, I mean, he was tremendous.
He's no kid, but he had a great night tonight, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, appreciate the call. Chris Colabello, four hits tonight. He's 6-for-8 in the two games since being called up from Buffalo, where he was the International League Player of the Month for April. 31 years old. The guy spent 7 years in independent ball, playing in the Can-Am League, mostly for the Worcester Tornadoes. Ben in Fergus. Hello, Ben.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right still, thank you.
I'm calling about Miguel Castro. You know,
okay.
I think I saw that he's starting tomorrow. He's only going 2 innings. They're actually starting him. I was wondering, what do you think is his chances of actually building up enough innings to come back to the Jays as a starter?
This year?
Yeah, this year. Yeah.
Zero.
So do you think they're just, so he's bound for AAA, bound to start it there, but if he ever does come back, it's strictly bullpen?
Yes.
And the other thought I had, you know, know that as soon as he's pitching, and he's getting stretched out, he's getting two innings tonight, more and more. Next year, would you like to see Osuna come out of the rotation, or would you actually want to see him back in the bullpen?
I want to see how his next 5 months goes. He's 20 years old. Obviously, if he continues to pitch well, and I don't think he's going to continue to pitch this well because that would be unbelievable. Yeah. But if he continues to pitch well, I would feel the same way going into next season as I felt about Aaron Sanchez in the off season. You're way better off with 150 to 180 quality innings than you are with 50 or 60. So if you have a great arm that's capable of starting, it's got the repertoire and the endurance to be a starter, and he could be a really, really good one, you'd much rather have him starting than pitching out of the bullpen. But, you know, next year, maybe we see Jeff Hoffman doing what Roberto Osuna is doing this year and what Aaron Sanchez did last year. And maybe that's how they're going to start to run them through. You know, next year you have a potential rotation of Dickey, Stroman, Hutchison, Norris, Sanchez. Maybe Osuna is in the bullpen if he's still in the major leagues, which, again, he's done such a wonderful job so far.
Who do you think's the next man up from Buffalo?
I hope it's Daniel Norris.
Yeah. Like maybe Copeland or Wolf? Is that like the other option, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, who else is going to be the other options? It's Copeland or it's Wolf. I really hope it's Norris.
Yeah, me too. All right, thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you much, Lee. Blue Jays beat the Yankees 5-1. We have time for one more call, and let's go west to Winnipeg. Nick, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, bud. How's it going?
All right, thanks. How's the peg?
We're rainy right now, and it's supposed to pour all day tomorrow, but it's not going to get us down after a big Blue Jays win.
Are you? Is it late enough in the year yet that you're getting the giant-sized mosquitoes around there?
No, not yet, even though we've had it's a little bit warmer than usual. We can't be called winter peg right now. It's like been plus 29 the last couple days.
All right, congratulations.
Thank you. I got a couple questions for you.
Sure.
First one I'm going to shoot you with is regarding their pitching. There's been some inconsistency with their young guns and even Drew Hutchie there. What do you think, because we know Anthopoulos hasn't been afraid to make some big trades in the offseason. Do you think later in the season, if we're still struggling with our young guns, that he might go out and grab a veteran later on, just to, like, if this is that make-or-break season that everyone keeps talking about?
I don't know if it's fair to say that the young guns have been struggling, because Dickey and Burley have been, Dickey's been all right.
Yeah.
He was great last time out, but he's been struggling, and Burley's got an ERA of 6. So it's not just the kids. It's everybody. Every starting pitcher on this team has been struggling. So if they continue to struggle, then I don't think that they're going to really be in a position to make a trade late in the season, because they'll be out of it. But I don't expect them to continue to struggle to this extent. But I do think Alex Anthopoulos is always looking to add pitching. Always.
And you don't think he's going to, you wouldn't think he's going to make a trade out of pure scaredness for his job or whatnot, do you?
Nope. He's never acted like that. I don't expect him to start acting like that.
Awesome. The other thing I wanted to ask you about was Navarro. With the pitching, the catcher market down in the NL pretty hot right now, with a lot of teams struggling down in that position. You think we might see a little bit more of him and showcase him, and maybe we use him as trade bait to grab someone that we may need in an area of need, like possibly a late, fifth spot in our rotation?
No,
definitely
not. First of all, there's no reason that the Phillies would want Deion or Navarro. But
those are two separate things.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't think the Blue Jays are terribly interested in Papelbon at the money and the declining velocity and the reputation and all of that stuff. As far as Navarro, I don't think we're going to see him showcased. I mean, first of all, he's got to come back from the injury. Second of all, you want Russell Martin back there as often as possible. Third of all, if Jose Bautista's shoulder doesn't get better, there aren't any DH at-bats available on this team. So, no, people know what Deion Navarro is. You don't need to showcase him. If you want to trade him, you're going to get what you get, whether he's playing three times a week or whether he's playing once or twice a week. Thanks for the call. Thanks for all the calls. Appreciate it. Good Blue Jays talk tonight. We'll be back Friday after the off day tomorrow. Red Sox are in town. Wade Miley and Aaron Sanchez. See you then.